This episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Revolution Beauty. Revolution Beauty is an affordable and accessible makeup for all. Since day one, Revolution has been challenging beauty norms and championing diversity.
All products are 100% cruelty-free and designed based on consumer feedback. So Revolution has something for every skin type and any occasion. And that is so great for me, Sasha, because my skin, it doesn't know what it wants to do. But I do love that they have a skincare kit for whatever you need, whether it's a blemish or oil, and their color palettes. Have you seen those?
Y'all know I love me some color, and that includes on my face.
So absolutely.
Now that summer is coming, I'm ready for all of the vibrant eyeshadows and all of the fun color palettes. I'm ready to go.
And Revolution definitely has something for us.
So we are teaming up with Revolution Beauty to give you 20% off your next purchase by using the code PODGO20. That code is PODGO20 at revolutionbeauty.us. Check out the link in our show notes and join the revolution today. Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning into us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So welcome to another episode. Y'all know that we like to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And today we are trying one of our favorite brands.
One of Sasha's favorite.
It is one of my
everything.
Yeah, it is. It's one of my favorite brands. So fun fact, I think we started season one way back with an Apothic White that we both detested.
Yes.
It was not a good wine.
This did happen.
but I don't know if it's new. I don't know if I haven't seen it before.
I feel like I've seen it in passing, but then again, remember, pandemic, I don't know time anymore. So it could have came out last week
ish.
Like, it could have came out last week or 4 months ago. I don't know, but I did see
this. But I think it's like it's within the last year.
There we go.
I don't think it's been before that. But so we are sipping today on an Apothic Merlot. Most of the Apothic, if you're familiar with the brand, most of the bottles have an A with like some sort of red background. But this one is different because it's blue. So I'm just excited about that because blue is my favorite color.
And a Merlot. Don't you act like you didn't love it because she loves her favorite is a Merlot. Y'all know. I like how she tried to present like, oh, it's just because the bottle's pretty.
What? It's my favorite type of wine.
This is everything. This is a Sasha episode. Okay.
Yeah. So, but according to the website, its tasting notes are black cherry. This is a new one for us. Boysenberry.
Oh Lord. Okay.
And vanilla. Mm-hmm. It says that so the 2019 Merlot has depths of black cherry, boysenberry, and wild blueberries. It has subtle hints of vanilla and coconut. To add dimension to the wine, they have a unique grape called a Toroldigo. That's what I'm gonna go with. That it's supposed to marry well with Merlot. It creates plush tannins and a long-lasting finish. So it is Sasha. I think all of our wines.
Oh, it's all Sasha and Sheree approved. 13.5 and above.
This season that we definitely got all Sasha and Sheree approved wine. I can't even find it on the bottle.
Oh, don't worry. I'll find it for you. Here it is. 13.5.
There we go.
It's on the front cover.
Is it? Where?
On the side. Left side. Sideways.
Okay, well, I trust you. Hopefully, mine is also 13.5 because you know, last season we ran.
We did have one where I had a higher alcohol content, but I think that was just the universe like doing what they needed to do because you know, whatever. But yes, it's jammy and I like it. I'm gonna be honest. This is one that I definitely am like, you know what? I could have this on my shelf because some Merlots are a little strong.
No, this is definitely a milder Merlot.
Yeah. But I like it.
It is jammy. It definitely tastes jammy. I don't know what a boysenberry tastes like, but
a boysenberry, in my opinion, is like a blackberry and a lingonberry. So if you've been to IKEA, a lingonberry. Okay, have you been to IKEA? The little berries that's at the IKEA. Okay, Sasha. Okay. See, this is thankfully we have someone else here to help with this.
But side note, you can't describe what a, you can't say it's like a bear, another berry that is not a common berry. Like, you can't just throw out this random berry.
Everybody's been to IKEA. In my life, I don't
what
know
is
anyone
it called?
Who has not.
Is it
been
a Swedish
to-
berry?
A lingonberry is the Swedish red berry, the sauce that goes on the meatballs with the whole meal. It's the red sauce. It's the red berry sauce. If you've been to IKEA, you've had it. There's no way you haven't, because it's like their standard meal.
Can you
so
only get it on the meatballs?
You don't have to, but it's like their,
well,
like,
I don't
it's
the
their
sauce.
Classic
you know,
side.
You know my picky sauce.
I forget, you're a picky eater. What am I talking about? Okay, the point is, y'all, listeners,
it tastes like an IKEA sauce,
like,
and
a
blackberry.
And a blackberry mix there. Everybody no, else will know what that is.
I do. I like this wine. It is. It's a good wine, as you drink yours.
I really also like mine.
Yeah. So yes, it's a Apothic Merlot. It is Sasha and Sheree approved, coming in at 13.5%. But as we dive into today's episode, as Sheree mentioned, we do have somebody joining us today, and we are super excited. We have Danielle of Octane Design Studios, who is joining us today. She is the owner of her digital brand agency, but she's also a podcaster, a wife, a mama of four, bless your heart, and a lover of chai tea, comics, cosplay, and live MMA. And before we dive into the rest of her bio, I want to say that I appreciate the fact that you like MMA. My husband likes it, and I can't stand it.
Oh, no, my brother likes it too. And it's just, look, I have friends who do MMA. Like, that's what they do. And I'm just like,
I just don't understand
you, but,
it, I guess. The people who sign up to, like, purposefully get hit, I've never understood boxing.
You have to be purposefully crazy, just so you know. Like, you know that someone's going to either kick you, hold you, toss you to the ground, and punch you in the face, and they're not going to stop. It's not like it's not nice. It's not anything nice about it.
I've never understood it. But so Danielle is a blended family advocate, as both a biological foster and adopted parent of four beautiful boys. Again, I commend you for not only having four children, but four boys at that. She says her children's attributes range from special needs and interracial heritages to hormonal growth spurts, and her youngest is currently 8 months old. She is passionate about providing creative services, and she strives to be more than just the graphics that she creates. I love this. She says over the years, her hashtag more than graphics has become more than just a marketing slogan. It's become a life principle for herself that she executes through storytelling and life chronicles up, and producer and co-host of her More Than Graphics podcast. So Danielle, welcome.
Thanks, ladies. You guys are awesome.
And I just, we also, Sheree and I were talking before we started recording, she has a legit setup.
Yes. Like, y'all don't understand. Like, I have a virtual background because, like, you know, I tell y'all, I'm in my son's room. This is where I do my podcast, and Sasha is in her office. And we were like, we was like, let us let her in. And I was like, oh, you're official. Like, it's mounted. There's a mounted mic. Okay.
There is. I love the boom arm. It can persuade some people in some areas if you use it right. But I love this setup. This is where I teach. This is how I speak to the world from this platform. So.
Awesome. Oh, that's beautiful. So, and I see you're drinking a wine, aren't you?
Yes. First, tell us what you're drinking.
Actually, I'm not drinking a wine. This is actually a Kentucky, we call this Kentucky swamp water for all of you who are locals to the area.
Oh my gosh,
and
yes.
Kentucky that's swamp liquor. Water is literally a ginger ale. It's a ginger ale. It's a really, really hardcore ginger ale. They call it L81 here in Kentucky, and it's distributed statewide. But this is a Kentucky only drink. It's nicknamed Kentucky Swamp Water, and this is the only ginger ale soda that I drink.
Oh my gosh. Oh, cool. It looks like wine, y'all. And I think it's gonna be my choice drink whenever I have my
other
child.
Drinking it out of a wine glass.
Yeah, so. That's how I personally prefer to drink anything. Orange juice, apple juice, grape juice, doesn't matter.
Yes, this is me. So that's exactly what I'm drinking out of tonight, is a little bit of Kentucky swamp water, sharing my Kentucky culture with all of you.
We love it.
So let's talk a little bit about your family, because we wanted to have you on the podcast to talk about what it's like having a blended family. Because Sheree and I know nothing about those things. Neither one of us have our own blended family or come from blended families. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to really just kind of dive into, like, how do you manage that? Like, how do you deal with
the beauty of it, the beauty and the everything.
Yeah.
Especially because you know, you've adopted kids, and I assume you've married into other having kids. If so, you've just, yeah. So
like it's all a around blend.
Yeah, it's an all around blend. It's a full blend over here. So when we talk about just in general, like family makeups, you know, what makes up family? And that's something that I like to embody in a couple different ways. One, you know, just coming into a marriage with previous children and carrying those extended relationships and even extended families, you know, into that new space and that new marriage. So that is something that I've never been married before, mind you. So this is kind of new, walking into being married ever, being a newlywed, and then also bringing children into that relationship, into that space. But my kids just fell in love with my husband. So we never had too much of a discrepancy in that. So that was always super easy. It was just an easy transition. And I tell you, when it's meant to be, everything kind of falls into place, right? So that's kind of how it felt for us as a family. So my children, and I consider myself a little bit of a Mary Poppins, if you will. So my bag is constantly filled with different types of things all the time to acquire the range and scope of my children. My oldest child is 14, biracial. My second oldest child is just plain old Caucasian. And we just have my third child is African-American. He's Black. And my fourth baby is interracial. So it's kind of like one of those things where how do you parent and accommodate and honor all of your children across the board? How do you do that? Scheduling is helpful. I can't tell you the types of blended scheduling that I have. It's kind of a whirlwind. This is the part my kids, you know, really don't see, and we don't expect our children
sees.
To see.
Nobody
but
sees
yeah,
that part.
Kind of like all the inner exchanges, you know, what kid goes on one day, what holidays are being shared. And it also, you know, maintaining those relationships, because we want to make sure that our kids see all of us, all of the parents coming together and working collectively, some more than others. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those situations where we try and put our best foot forward anyway. Recently, I was having a conversation with someone in regards to, you know, honoring all of our children's story. And that is really important when we come across, for me, being an adopted mom, you know, adopting a child is really important to me to honor all of my kids. Not just the part that I want to hold on to or the parts mm-hmm. that I get to just visit yeah. with or whichever, but yeah, it was really important for me to kind of carry that torch and just put good work into things, not just do my fair share or do my fair part, but really put in that full body work, right?
Mm-hmm. I yeah. mean, that's so important. I mean, you said something that when you say honoring all of your children and all of your children, mm-hmm. that I think it resonated with me just now, because we go through so many things in the world. And like you said, you're blended. So mm-hmm. You have to learn how to navigate the world, mm-hmm. life, society. And like, I wonder, like, how has that been? I mean, I know that we're, of course, you know, we record during different times, so there's a mm-hmm. lot going on. So like, how have you been able to like manage that's a hard one,
especially because, you know, so full disclosure, we're recording this in what month is this? April.
This is April.
You know,
George
name.
Chauvin.
I don't want to call it the George Floyd trial, because it's not about him.
Derek Chauvin.
There we go. Mm-hmm. You know, that trial is going on right now. And then, of course, you know, the other guy just got shot, mm-hmm. killed by mm-hmm. police
Dante.
Officer. Yes. And you said you have, and Sheree and I talk a lot about this, you know, we're raising sons too. We're raising little Black boys. Obviously my son is Afro-Latino, but you know, his daddy
husband
Black, so he Black too.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's like, and your husband is a cop. So, you know, we speak about all of the nuances that we deal with on
but
a day to day.
How do you deal with that when you have kids who, you know, you mentioned one of your kids is Caucasian, mm-hmm. one of them is African-American, one of them is mixed. How do you deal with all of that with the fears that come from having a Black son and mm-hmm. then, you know, help them understand that as well? Like, they might have a different, like, they're going to experience the world a little differently than
yes.
your other kids.
Yes, absolutely. And those are general conversations we have to have almost daily. Wow. So when when George Floyd, period, when that whole, we'll just say when the re-movement of Black Lives Matter really came together, just in our, you know, lifespan period, our kids became very aware that our family is a little bit more unique than others. We were featured on NPR about a month after George Floyd in regards to our reactions and how we choose to parent our kids and make them aware. We don't sugarcoat. That's one thing I am really proud of our families. We don't sugarcoat. So that's really a focal point that I push really hard to my kids. Even they may not be ready for it. They may not be as aware of what's going on, but I let them know up front, this is what's happening. And I need you to discern in some areas. Some of my children would like to take that a little bit easier in other areas. For Ellington, who is my Black child, he is very sensitive and he took that very personally. When he was interviewed in NPR, you can even hear like the sensitivity and the rattle in his voice in regards to just advocating, I'm tired. Mama, I'm tired. He's not even at that time. He wasn't even 10.
Wow.
I'm tired. I'm tired of having to defend myself in this way. Some of those statements are pretty profound. They weren't completely recorded or shared from NPR. They're recorded, but not shared. But I think it was one of those situations where you could really see the truth in our children's eyes, the innocence that comes from them. They just want to be. You know, our kids just want to be that. All the other things that came before them is not relevant to them right now. So when we think about, you know, the disdain of racial injustice and the disdain of just discrimination, period, for people of color, this is something that unfortunately is going to lay on any one person's shoulders at some point. It's just a matter of how you want to, you know, pass that on and how you want to continually discuss it and bring it up. What I will say is that through our personal experience, we've had a range of emotions from specifically talking about my Caucasian son, Michael. He definitely exclaims very often, I hate being white. and he says it very, you know, nonchalantly, but it's one of the situations he understands. He knows. Yeah. But he's also extremely protective. And I think that is something we have passed on in a much more positive sense, is use your privilege in the right way. And that is something that I am constantly proud of him for, is he defends his brothers. If in any way, shape or form that he feels like something is wrong or not right, he steps in. It's one of the situations also where if he feels, you know, he gets a little parental in some areas. We call Ellington the third parent, but, you know, Michael Ray in a lot of areas is also passing on that additional parental feelings to his brothers, letting them know. My oldest son, who has special needs, has high functioning autism. And it's one of those situations also as well where, you know, when I see him, I think of Elijah McCain. And I see the situation where he's trying to overly explain that he is not a threat. I am not a threat. I am not a threat. And my son, who very much could easily have been an Elijah McCain, was in that situation. So we take that very much to heart. So that's something too that we, you know, we just kind of address and talk about. Conversation has been the number one therapeutic method in our family. If we don't talk about it, then usually something really is wrong. But usually 9 times out of 10, we're very talkative people. I'm a very over-communicative mom. So we've got people, I mean, we're all boy moms in here. So we talk, we talk parts, we talk bodies, we talk, you know, all the things. There's no topic that's not off topic. So it's just one of those situations where they're like, you know, mom again, but I'm like, again, because the world keeps telling us something else is going on. And I want to make sure that you're aware and you're prepared.
I think that's phenomenal. That's like, that's amazing. That especially your son, you know, he recognizes that you're trying to teach him to recognize that privilege that he will have just because he looks different than his brothers. So I think I think that's awesome, because parents like you teaching white kids what they have is how things in my mind get better. It's how things change.
Absolutely.
Because the younger kids have to understand that they are coming from a place of privilege through no fault of their own.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. Yeah, I think that the thing is that privilege has become this word where people hear it and immediately shut down, like, oh my gosh, but I've gone through bad things. It's like, no. Mm-hmm. Let's reel it back. It really just means, what are the things that you don't have to worry about? Or what mm-hmm. are the things that are afforded to you just off the gate?
Yep,
and people don't realize, like, we all have levels of privilege. The thing is that when we speak specifically about that white privilege, mm-hmm. we're talking about color and the mm-hmm. fact that I wake up and there's no way that I can turn myself any different from what I look like.
Yeah.
I wake up in the morning and this is what I look like. Change my hair or anything like that, I'm still Black.
Yes.
And that comes with things. But no, I love that you said you don't sugarcoat. And a lot of people,
I don't think Sheree and I really sugarcoat.
We don't either.
Yeah. And I get that feeling.
Your mom goals in terms of, like, I envision myself being able to eloquently talk about, like, race, privilege, and all the things, because we do penises. Talk about, like, yeah, penises and all those things.
Yes.
See, I don't have any problem with
there's
that.
A lot of penis talk when it's boys.
We had to get over that pretty early. Like, can I touch my penis? Okay, look, you can touch your penis over here, but you cannot just pull your penis out anywhere.
There's, like, shower time and bedtime. Hey, we got places.
Like, it's things that you have to get comfortable with where I'm like, he's naked and touching his penis. I don't want him. Don't sit on my lap right now.
Exactly.
I don't want you
over there.
Like, please don't try and jump on my head. Your penis is out. That's not happening. So it's like, I get the sugarcoating, but it's very beautiful that, like we said, these are hard times, and it's not like it's been easier times, but there's a special ramping up that's happened recently. And like, I've recently expressed to my husband, I said, I truly feel like we've swung in a place that I don't know what will bring us back. I mean, justice, like, whatever results, all of that, it's like almost at a place where I'm like, it's not that it's not enough, but I'm just like, I don't know where we're going, but it's eerily similar. And I don't like when the world becomes when we repeat ourselves too quickly. Like, we started to repeat ourselves a little too quickly because I was like, this seems familiar. And then the new thing was like, oh, that reminded me of this. I said, I shouldn't be able to recall so easily what this reminds me of. And so,
I completely agree.
Raising children in that.
Yeah, it's super hard. And again, I also come from a family that serves. So we have Marines, we have Army, we have Army Reserve, we have Navy. And so in our family, we come from a place where we serve our country. And it's very hard to explain, of course, to children, how can a country that's supposed to, that we serve and we love and protect, can also not serve and protect the people inside of it. So, I mean, those are the internal questions that we all kind of have that giant question mark, you know, about. And we just try our best to, you know, put our best foot forward as individuals. How do we best present ourselves to show what we're for? And one of those kind of motherly lessons we always tell our kids, right? I need your words and your actions to match. And that is something that I constantly bear down on my kids as they are, like, growing in their own, is I need your words and your actions to match. If you said you're going to pick up the clothes off the floor, there better be no clothes on the floor. If you said you're going to be home before dark, then I best see you in the house before the street lights come on. So it's one of the situations where, you know, we just constantly teach and preach in that way. And that, I think that also helps them better prepare themselves for the world. The world is going to judge them based upon the things that they do and don't say. The world is going to judge them based upon the things that they may or may not do. So I really want to be that example as a person in the world for them. But I also don't want to handhold them either. And that's also something that I'm very adamant about, is just kind of, you know, dropping the fish in the water and just keep swimming.
Yes. Yes. Dory up in here.
I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned too, like, you know, part of honoring your kids is, you know, making sure all of the parents, how challenging is that? Because you have, when you have, it's hard enough being just regular like husband, wife, parents to your own kids. Mm-hmm. When other people start, you know, when that relationship is no longer there and then other people start coming in, both from your side or mm-hmm. from, you know, your kid's parent, you know, father's side, when that starts coming in, there's other people. How do you manage to balance all of that? Because that there's more people in the pot now. There's more like opinions. Yeah. There's like, oh, well, maybe you only got to do things at mom's house this way.
That kitchen is here.
You can only, you know, you can do it this way. And, you know, how do you juggle balancing all that? Because I think most parents, I mean, Sheree and I can say, you know, even within, like I said, even within just a husband and wife team or just, you know, mm-hmm. regular, no, non-blended family, you have different parenting styles in that you have to get over. And now you're talking about bringing in more people with more people
with more styles and less ability and less chances for you to like have multiple communications where you're like, you're not there all the time with everybody.
Oh yeah. I can honestly say that I'm very blessed that I was able to experience this in the beginning and a little bit toward the end. And that in the middle part is where I gained a lot of my grit. So in the beginning, I kind of had the floor slipped from under me in some areas where I kind of walked into a situation with my partner at the time. And once we were already very different, it was very much opposite attracts relationship. So once that departed, it was just kind of like this child was kind of in the middle. And even though my son has lived with me his entire life, there's still large aspects of his life where he's not here. He's with his father. And I had to come to a kind of consensus. Obviously, what is meant for me is meant for me. One, that was one I had to understand. But coming out of that relationship, I also better understood that there's work on myself, obviously, that I need to personally do to be better for my child, let alone the next partner that walks into my life. And then also recognizing that my child is beautiful pieces of both of us together. Mm-hmm. I see so much of his father every single day in my child. And at first, I will say that was very resentful for me. Mm. But over time, I learned to better appreciate all of those gifts because they make up my child. So I definitely want people to understand that there's a process, emotional process, both on the parent end, on the receiving end, and the outgoing end. So that was one. number two, which was my second born, which is Ellington. And he really, his father is here locally in this area. So it's easier to see. Whereas my first child, his father's out of state. So it's one of the situations where we have to juggle schedules, you know, obviously really well. Mm-hmm. But also too, there was a boundary. There really was I call it a spiritual boundary, honestly, where I had to just lay some ground rules. This is what is accepted here. And I hope that it is strong enough that you want to carry it elsewhere. Mm. And so I really refer to this phrase, you know, being the light in some areas, because for other people, it's a little bit darker. You know, their situation, their environment is not as bright as the one that we created for them here. Mm-hmm. But I hope that it's inspiring enough to make them set some expectations on their own, and they carry those expectations wherever they go. So that's kind of like my foreshadowing of how my kids kind of work around with multiple parents, right? And then you've got those different styles. The way that I parent is very different from the way that other parents are parenting my children. So it's one of those situations where I have to, you know, be cognizant and open to that. Constant communication. I can't tell you, at least every 2 weeks I'm talking to a parent. So it's one of those situations where I'm like, you know, recently signed up my child for camp. I wanted to make sure that he knew exactly what weekend that was or what week that was, so that he would be aware that during that week, maybe if he wanted to travel, block that week off so that he can still attend camp and prepare himself for sixth grade. And then on the other side of that, there is my oldest, who the summer is completely blocked off. Summer, he's gone. He's not here. He literally leaves 2 weeks after school and he's gone, doesn't come back until 2 weeks before school starts. Yeah. So there's a whole season of life that's kind of gone.
Is that hard for you? Was that hard for you at first?
In the beginning, yes. This wasn't this particular arrangement wasn't set in stone until he was 8. Yeah. He's 14, gonna be 15 in October. So it's one of those situations where I had to put some things in place both for myself and for him. So there were some routines we had going on. It made it a little bit easier. But I think what made it even harder, and it still makes it hard, is just the difference in parenting style. So it still is something that we're working on, but it takes communication. It has to take communication from both ends. Mm-hmm. So I'm noticing still I'm exerting a lot of extra energy in communicating, and I'm kind of getting a not as verbal communication, and that's okay. Different stuff for different folks. There's no harm, no foul there. But I think it's important that when it comes to the matters of the child, yeah, it's really important that you communicate, you know, what you want best for them, and find some sort of middle ground in between so that Miles can eventually make those decisions on his own about what he thinks is best for him.
I think so, that's so adult of you.
It wasn't always.
It was, I was going to say, you are like a full adult that I hope to one day be, because I mean, but at the same time, it's like, it's not a pettiness that comes in, but it is a protectiveness.
It's hard. Especially like the part where you say, where you see a lot of your kid's father in them. You know, how many women have we seen, like on TV, movies, real life, where they start to resent their kid because they remind them so much of this other person that they now can't stand, you know, for whatever reason. And then you have to figure out how to deal with that as an adult and a parent and love your kid, despite that they remind you so much.
And I think that you said it. No, you said, when you said like that your child or your son reminds you so much of, like, there's so many moments, but our children are mixes of both of us. And it's those things that, like, instead of looking at it as like, oh my gosh, I can't stand, it's like, these are the beautiful things that if we were together, they'd be cute. Right. It's like, we don't think about that. Like right now, the things that my son is my husband. I don't know. I ask specifically. He looks like that. Why are you lying?
He got the forehead is all.
He has my forehead. That is a trait that I was going to win no matter what. The forehead game is strong in my family. I was not everything else. Okay, so my forehead, my husband's face, my husband's actions, his attitude, and he acts like his uncles. He acts like my brother. And his other, on my husband's side, his brothers, goodness. Like, he acts like the most stubborn people in the family. And I'm just like, I was an easy child.
I have the complete, my son doesn't remind me of my husband or me. So it's kind of like, I have the flip side where it's hard to see either of us.
Like, I don't know where he came from. He's been here before. That's because Stokely been here before.
He has been here before. He is an old soul.
No, yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, my child, like, is the most stubborn parts of, and like, I have to look at him and say, as much as I want to correct out this behavior, at the same time, these are the things that make me smile, because he's so sweet. And I have to choose to like it in a different way, because otherwise I'll go and grab the holy water. Today was the day that I was just like, there's holy water in my, there's definitely some in my dresser. And you know, if it burns, I will know. Today is the day that I would know, because I'm sure that there was a sizzle that could happen. I haven't done it yet.
Oh my goodness.
No, he was, look, you know how you're just like, I don't know what happened. I don't know why you're like, why are you like this today? So like, yes, but those are the moments that are hard. Mm-hmm. When we look at like who you're reminded of, and especially if we associate that with something negative. But yes, you said it.
I'm very fortunate though that I can honestly say, if I wanted to call them all up and have beers in the backyard, they would do it. Oh, so that's awesome. I do consider myself very lucky that if I really wanted to go that direction, I could. I think for their own, you know, personal directions and where they wanted to go, probably not. Mm-hmm. All of them have, you know, additional families and relationships and things along those lines. So it's one of those situations where, you know, if I, in any way, shape or form, I don't have any ill harm or anything against any of my children's fathers at all. It's one of the situations where I can look back and look at the lessons that I personally learned through those relationships. And when I look at my children, they are reflections of the lessons that I've learned. And so thinking about it from that direction, and not thinking of it so much as a teardown, but more so of a, Okay, I learned from that. You know, my child is a lesson that I learned, mm-hmm. a piece of my life that I spent in this direction. And now I get to spend the rest of my life going, doing something a little bit different and learning from that and living from that. That's something that I really encourage other people who are in kind of similar places with blended families to see that way.
That's awesome. Because I feel like it can be hard. Like I was like you were saying, you know, it's hard to see so much of somebody else, you know, your other partners and your kids, so much of somebody who you're no longer with and your kids. And then I think for me personally, it probably would be hard to also see this other person with new families. And now you have to get used to that. And, you know, now, you know, you have, you know, half brothers and half sisters and, you know, how do we juggle all of that? Because now these are your siblings too, like, you know, trying to bring all of that family together. And then in your case, having a new husband that mm-hmm. you're now bringing into the family, and it's like, welcome, we have all these kids and you're going to love them. But this is all of the other stuff that comes with them.
I was very lucky. My husband at the time had no children. When we first met, so that was really, really amazing. But he was an amazing uncle to a nephew that had little to nothing, and eventually that uncle turned into dad, and then dad became a part of this family, and that's kind of how we all meshed and blended together. So that's how we went from 3 to 4.
Wow.
Or from 2 to 3 before the 4.
No, and you know what, you and the other question that me and Sasha have talked about this, like Sasha always knew she was like one done. She always knew that. I've always known that me and my husband have always talked about, not only do we want like at least 2 children, so like fingers crossed one day, but we also did say that we wanted to foster and adopt. Both of us like knew, we had that conversation in our relationship. I don't know why, looking back, that was a very like deep conversation to have, but a good one. But like thinking to, how did was it a hard decision or a very like difficult or changing decision to say like I want to also
I think it was always our plan. That was always our goal, because of the fact that I had already had children and we wasn't sure if that was something, additional children for us between the two of us, was something we wanted, but we always knew that we wanted more. Like we wanted children. He was always dreaming of a family. That was his goal. He wanted to be a family man. He just hadn't found the right partner to really kind of create that foundation with. And so it was so interesting how it came together as we were dating, before we were even engaged, before we were married. You know, we already knew that his nephew at the time was in a very rough situation, and it was going to be either up to him or up to us, you know, to make that call. And so we actually made that decision. It was on my birthday in Nashville, Tennessee. We were in front of the Country Music Hall of Fame, and he was just like, you know what, this is happening and this is really important to me, and I need to know if this is important to you too. And we talked about bringing Michael into our home, and that was the first time we really had that conversation. And it was like, for me, it was like a breath of fresh air. This, of course, mind you, my background with family is kind of, you know, hardcore. I come from a large family. My mother's one of 9. My dad's one of 13.
Wow.
So it was it felt absolutely natural to have more children. Middle school, I was like, y'all ain't getting me, because I babysit all these cousins. Y'all ain't getting me, like, repel. You know, that holy water was also in my drawer. So I was like, y'all ain't getting me. Satan, get behind me on that one. And
I commend you for having 4 boys, because I just, from 14 to 8 months, just sounds like so much.
I was going to say, you got to also remember that Sasha legitimately has always known.
I'm also an only child too.
She's an only child as well. I have a sibling, one sibling. My husband is the oldest of 4. Hence why when you say 4, I want you to know we had that conversation too.
Oh.
I'm an even number person. So I was like, oh, 2. But if we have 3, then have 4. He said, don't have 4. No, no, no. And I said, I'll take your word for it. You're wonderful. You know, I defer to him, because he was like, no, you don't want 4 right now. And I said, okay, cool, 2 is fine.
I think it gets way easier. Like they always say that, you know, that little what is it? Mm-hmm. The third one's the hardest. And then after four, you could have four more and you wouldn't even feel a thing. And
that's the one my child acts like, the third one. Oh my gosh. Oh, that makes so much sense.
Ellington in that case right now, he is definitely our parent number three in our household. And he does all the things. If the baby cries in any way, shape, or form, he is already in a 2-foot radius. It is one of those situations where we have to tone him down and remind him, like, dude, you're 10 going on 11. Right. I need you to, you gotta live your life first. Are you gonna be the greatest husband? That's what I keep you're gonna be the greatest husband. You are gonna be the extraest dad ever.
Like, you're gonna make someone so happy. Yeah. Today I really need
take
you
a step back, relax.
Like, today can you go play soccer or something? Do you want to play a game?
Right, exactly.
Do you want to go play a game? Because you can. It's okay.
Sometimes I have to send them outside. I need you to go outside and play with your friends today. But yeah, that's kind of the blendedness that we have in here. It ranges, it's really interesting as you parent across the board, and you see all the different personalities and you see all the different types of needs that they have, both emotionally, psychologically. It just really is kind of fun to kind of watch them kind of rainbow in some areas. But it also, it can also come with a lot of stress. It can also come with a lot of heartache in some areas too, watching your kids learn those harder life lessons that they need to learn on their own. Mm-hmm. It is definitely difficult to watch in those areas, but our biggest and primary number one thing that we do is we want to prep them. We want to prep them as much as we can for the world so they can make those decisions on their own, learn from them, and pivot and transform in whatever way they need to. So,
oh, absolutely.
I love that. I think that's awesome.
I mean, you are killing it in the game. I don't know if anyone hasn't told you, in case no one's told you, because we're all about mom, and we're all about mom positivity and more than, but you are killing it. I'm like, these are goals. I was like, geez, I'm over here struggling with what, if I had four Brendans, and I love my Brendan. I know, Sasha, we're not talking about you because you can't do. My child is perfect for me. Your child's perfect for you. But if I had four of him.
I couldn't have one Brendan. I don't know how you would be able to have four.
I love my one Brendan.
I love Brendan too. But Brendan's scared of Aunt Sasha.
He's scared of her. But it's because Aunt Sasha, he's scared of her. He looks at when we go to Aunt Sasha's house, he's just like, we're like, where's Sasha? Aunt Sasha, we can go home. He stands at the door. He's like, we can go. Why are you taking your coat off? What is going on?
I've never done anything to this child, by the way. I want to preface that for the whole audience. I've never done anything.
All she's ever done is told him, Brendan, your mother told you to sit down. And he's just like, I think I need a listener. She has the look. And I'm just I'm just saying. He not scared. He loves her. He do. He loves Aunt Sasha. And he loves Stokely. Stokely's like his best friend. I promise you. He's just like, she look like she don't play. When she tells me to do something, I really need to do it. It messes with his free spirit. Also that's why I said it's hilarious to look at. If I had four, I don't know. And I know that eventually, of course, everyone who has
you
more
make it
than
work.
What you have is like, oh, I couldn't see how you could do it. I could see how you could do it. I just,
It's a lot of energy, y'all. It really is.
Oh, I'm sure. It keeps me young, though. Boys never sit. They just go
sit.
Minute he wakes up.
And they're so loud. They're loud, man. When they don't mean to be loud. They can be quiet and be loud.
Bathtub and was just yelling. And I was like, what are we doing right now?
For a reference point right now, because y'all can't hear.
Oh, I hear.
I hear. You can hear. Okay. I can hear them. And I'm like, why are you this loud? This is dad. This is dad's fault. I've said it before and I'll say it again. So we just not going to be quiet and calm down. We don't have calm down with dad. No.
Right.
Dad is turn up king. So I'm just sitting there like, why are you screaming? What is going on?
I want to close out the episode with just, I guess, if you had to give one piece of advice for women who are in a situation where they are going to about to be in a blended family, either on their own end or they're going to get dragged into one. But, you know, maybe they don't want to be, like, maybe, you know, their previous partners have now found someone else and now, you know, they're playing that role. What would you say to help them navigate that?
You are the ambassador for what they will carry later.
Ooh.
And that's really important because a lot of times we think about us and our situation. For me as a mom, a single mom, before I was married, I was a pregnant single mom in a 500 square foot apartment, one bedroom. And I had to really make some choices for myself. I had to think about whether or not I wanted to be a victim in my situation or if I wanted to be a survivor in my situation. And that was before I even got into, you know, my marriage and additional partnerships and relationships that came from that. So when I say being ambassador, it literally is you're opening a door for somebody, and there's honor in that. And so how do you take that title, whatever that is, stepmom, mom, adoption mom, how do you take that and present that in a way that presents an opportunity for them to, I don't want to say exalted or blessed, but just kind of being open to that. How do I create doorways and pathways and opportunities for this child because of my personal interest in this child? And so that is something that I'm always thinking about in hindsight for my children. How can I create better opportunities for them that will outlast me? And I think that's all of us, for all of us as parents, we want that for our children. So it's even more so, I think, more of a extra, you know, Olympic candle holder moment in holding that torch up for them and letting them know that you can be that space for them too. It may not look like mom, it may not look like dad, but I can be that space for you too. And just letting them know that communication is really important.
I love that.
Open them doors and don't close them. Jesus, like, she is over here. That is a gem. I was like, I clutched my non-existent pearls on that.
Woo. You pulled a camel. Okay.
I was like, wait a sec. Like,
That's that being down south stuff, right? That's what you just.
I just was like, wait a second. Hey,
you come from down south.
I was just like, wait a minute. But that was like, no, that was just so beautiful. I just want you to know, like, wait. Like, you can be a beacon of light to reflect.
I love
like
it.
All of that. Like, I am in love with that. I'm taking that gem.
I mean, because that's no matter what kind of parent you are, like, be a beacon of light for your child. I think that's beautiful. So thank you so much, Danielle, for being on the podcast. It was so nice to have you. You can find Danielle on Instagram. She's at Octane Designs on Instagram. Her More Than Graphics podcast is at MTG, More Than Graphics, thepodcast.com. Her business, I'm going to say this wrong. I guess it's Lex Octane. I guess I won't say
it
wrong.
That's it.
Okay.
You nailed it.
LexOctane.com. I was like, hold on, that looks like a word, but let me break it out. So you can find her at Lex. I really am bad at reading and like I can't sound stuff out. It's hard.
You got it.
LexOctane.com is where you can find her. Thank you so much. As always, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. We are available on all your major podcast platforms. You can find us on Instagram at Swirl and Sip Podcast. If you want to have a discussion about the show, tell us your thoughts. If you want to suggest a topic, you can always email us at hello@swirlandsippodcast.com. Sharia, am I missing anything? I'm a little rusty.
Patreon.
Thank you. If you want to support the show, you can follow us on Patreon at patreon.com/swirlandsippodcast and be a part of our Sip Squad. It costs as little as $3 a month, and you get to do fun things like see Sheree's virtual background that she got going on and Danielle's studio quality podcasting. So you can catch all of the behind the scenes on Patreon. And as always, just make sure you have your wine glasses ready for next week's episode.
Bye.